Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. You know, I hope you're surviving this summer weather. Greetings, greetings, and welcome to Truthful Tuesdays on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor, my pleasure, my absolute excitement of the week to come and serve as your hostess for this weekly broadcast, podcast, whatever kind of cast you want to call it, because I get the honor. I get to bring to you the world's experts in various fields and the uncelebrated heroes in our communities. And so I'm just excited. I stay excited about Tuesdays. And I tell you, I'll be preparing for the show all day and sitting at the computer waiting for the time to come around. But thank you for being with us. Thank you for being here with Life, Love, and Wellness. So there's a couple of things that we do before we go get into the show and bring you this masterful guest speaker that we have for tonight. The very first thing that we do is give thanks and honor to our ancestors. Our ancestors are always with us, and especially on Tuesdays, as we discuss topics, issues, concerns, general happenings in our communities that's not ordinarily talked about in an open setting. You know, we may whisper about it behind closed doors or in a corner, but here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, we bring it out. You know, we shout it out, what the truth is, what we know to be the truth. And like I said, we celebrate our unsung heroes. And so our ancestors hold us up to be able to do that without a doubt, without a doubt. So we're just thankful, ancestors. And we know you got us, man. You got us on all ends, all sides, top, bottom, front, and back. And for that, we just remain thankful. Ashe, ashe. So next we kind of take a little time just to exhale. You know, we run most times all day long from one thing to another, hardly catching our breath in between and just staying busy, staying on the go. But we want to be in alignment with our energy for tonight. So as we just calm down and be mentally prepared and our energy is stabilized and our hearts are wide open to receive it is the reason why we read part of a daily inspirational message. And this particular one that I'm reading is called Time to Release. It is time to move that old stale energy out and away for good. It is time to release anything and everything that does not bring you joy of heart and peace of mind. Just move it out. It's time to embrace goodness, justice, faith, wholeness, and unconditional love. We have no time to waste. It must be done now. Procrastination robs us of vital energy. So let us not put off until tomorrow that which we know we are to rid ourselves of. Be gone, all negativity. Be gone, all backbiting and backstabbing. Be gone, all naysayers and doomsday worshipers. Be gone, everything that does not life into existence. Be gone. Just leave. And that was just a small part of this particular daily inspirational message from WordPress. And it is one that I author, so you can read the full message for today or read any other day, sign up for it. But you would simply go to revsandy.wordpress.com, and it will allow you to breeze through, browse through, and it will also give you the space to subscribe if you would like to do such. Well, it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So today we have the infamous Amazon number one best-selling author of In Our Family, Indigenous American Stories, Mr. Damon Taylor. But he's coming to talk to us about, do you know your true roots? That is our topic for tonight. So audience, you know you're welcome to be a part of the conversation tonight, ask questions or comment on the knowledge that you're going to receive tonight. And to do that, you would call into the show at 516-531-9819. And on whatever device you're on, you would push 1. That will alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. And so once your line has been open, it's going to stay open until the end of the show, unless there's too much noise coming from your particular device. So what I ask of you, if you are interested in speaking live with us and your phone is open, when you're not speaking, just mute your phone. That's all. It's really pretty simple. That way there's no background distraction in the sound quality. A lot of our listeners like to listen to the shows repeatedly and or do not stay up quite this late at night, and they get to listen to it for the first time at another date and time. So if you would do that, that would be absolutely super duper. And if by chance you would like to listen to any of the previous shows, you would just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, and when we come back, we have the honor of bringing Mr. Damon Taylor to the microphone, and he's going to tell us about what he's doing and how he's impacting the history of the world. We'll be right back, you guys.
I just want to pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. I don't want to tell you how to live. I just want to give what I have to give. Maybe it'll pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. Smiling faces, warm embraces. Lovers walking hand in hand. Revolution is no solution to the tragedy of man. Here's my plan. Hope I can pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. Honey, when you give I can pick somebody up. Why are you doing this thing? How come you're playing music for people? Getting up early in the morning just to catch a plane, a bus, and a train. Going insane, fanning the flame. So then why? Is it for love? Is it for self-expression? Is it to combat depression? Is it to make people happy? I mean, I love it. I can hear it. I can listen to what somebody smiles at. But when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm surly, and when I'm bad. That sunshine turns to rain, and I just can't stand the pain. And I feel I'm going insane till I get back home again. When I think I can't compete, and I just can't find the beat. When I'm old, when I'm young, when I finally saw the sun, I sure hope we have some fun, spreading love to everyone. So before I tip my cup, I just wanna pick somebody up.
Mr. Raul Madone, Pick Somebody Up. I just love that song. It just talks about the energy of us being able to assist one another and just doing it, you know, for no apparent reason or reward, just to do it, just to do it because you can. So I love that. That is one of my all-time favorite songs. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And on this evening, I have the absolute pleasure and honor to bring back to the stage, to the microphone, to the show, Mr. Damon Taylor. He's been with us before, but he's getting really to break it down for us because he has released his book, and the title, In Our Family, Indigenous American Stories. And so in that book, he tells his sons, Kenny and Joshua, about their family's Indigenous American heritage through an oral tradition that has been passed down through generations. He mentions historical figures such as Crispus Attucks, Pocahontas, and the Lost Colony, weaving their stories into the larger narrative of their family's history. Through this storytelling, Damon provides a glimpse into the rich and diverse cultures of indigenous Americans, while also highlighting the struggles and injustices they have faced throughout history. The book serves as a reminder of the importance of preserving oral traditions and cultural heritage, and it encourages readers to learn more about the history and experiences of indigenous Americans. So Damon is a proud father who homeschools his two precious sons. He's got an update on that. He operates a catering business, and he hosts an active podcast in addition to some other major work that he does with an organization by the name of Urban Indian Heritage Society. They are actively involved in soliciting signatures for a petition which addressed the misclassification of Indian heritage. Plus, he serves as a genealogist for his family mainly, but he has learned that skill, and he does it with such pleasure and with such thoroughness. So without further ado, it is my honor, it's my pleasure, it is just such a wonderful treat to bring the author, Mr. Damon Taylor, to the microphone to talk with us tonight. Thank you so much, Damon, for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you. I really love that introduction. I've been jamming back here, you know, listening to the music and everything. So it's my pleasure to be here as well. I've been thoroughly enjoying it. You know, the song picked somebody up. It picked me up, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that.
Well, that's beautiful. That's what it's about, you know, like we serving each other at all the ways that we can. So that's absolute perfect. Ooh-wee, I tell you, your book is just fabulous. I have it in my hand as we're speaking, as we're doing this show. The illustration, the artwork is just outstanding. The history lessons and the facts and new information that you share is just like, I couldn't put it down. I'm like, this ain't for no kid. This for me.
And I appreciate that because that was the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted it to be something that we could give to our young people and give to the next generation, but for us to be able to, you know, appreciate and gain something from, you know, because this is not the average, you know, information that somebody's going to get in their regular, you know, going to school or even going to college. You know what I'm saying? Some people just won't get this information. So, you know, I felt like that was definitely one of the goals, was to be able to reach a wide range as far as the age of the audience. And, you know, you mentioned the illustrations. That was probably the hardest part. It was making sure the illustrations were exactly what I wanted them to be and to be representative of, you know, the range of, you know, our phenotypes and things like that, because that's always been an issue. I find is that the imagery that we're faced with as far as who are indigenous Americans is always monolithic. It's always, you know, stereotypical, and it doesn't really reflect the wide range of, you know, appearances of the American Indians and American people. So, you know, that was a key that I definitely worked on. So I'm glad that you picked that up.
It's a job very well done. I truly appreciate being able to see that, you know, so because you're absolutely correct. You know, if they say this is a black doll, for instance, you know, it's going to be with all the Caucasian characteristics or features, and it's just painted black, you know, or painted brown. So, but this you can honestly tell, you know, so it was a great deal of attention paid to that. So truly, truly appreciate it. So how are your sons, how were they actively involved in the writing, the research, or any aspect of the book, or?
I would say, well, definitely my oldest son, he made sure that if, you know, you see the book, you'll see he's wearing a blue shirt on the cover. So he did make sure, you know, he said, hey, I want to, I need to be wearing a blue shirt. And, you know, some advice he gave me that I didn't take, because he, you know, I was writing the story and it was just flowing a certain way with the characters and with the lines going back and forth. And I mentioned something in the story about, you know, one of my sons saying, oh, I love corn, right? And my oldest son, Kenny, he's telling me, he said, oh, but Joshua wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? He said, oh, he doesn't love corn. I love corn. Like, you know, so he's all about getting it. You know, he wants the authenticity, you know what I'm saying, to be down to a T. So the next, you know, because this is just the beginning of a series, actually. So we're looking towards the next book, trying to get, you know, I'll get some more collaboration from, you know, from him in that way. And, you know, my youngest, he's a little bit more shy, kind of more so like, hey, I trust you. You know what you're doing. And, you know, he lets me just get out there and do what I do. But they, just the way that I interact with them on a normal basis, that's the impetus really behind the book, right? So even though they didn't help directly, just being able to frame the story in our everyday atmosphere, I say they helped in that way. You know what I'm saying? Being able to kind of provide the backdrop. You know, they provided the backdrop.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So you have been having discussions with them prior to developing this book, or just since, you know, you thought about creating a book? How did their knowledge or their interest in learning about their genealogy, how did that come about?
It definitely came about through, you know, similar to how I learned, you know, just being around elders and, you know, hearing those oral traditions and the family stories. So, you know, going to family reunions and things like that. So they had those experiences even at really young ages, because, you know, they're still young now. And that was really the way that I feel they got introduced. And then I definitely took an initiative to make sure that I could, you know, really, really teach them the specific information, you know, not the generalized, the whitewashed information. You know, I wanted to give them, like, the really nitty-gritty. And I started teaching them that very early, you know, having them read books, you know, having them, you know, watch documentaries and different things. So I've been very active in that way. And I feel like a lot of that is because I felt offended myself when I started learning different things. And I felt like, man, I thought I knew a lot. I thought I was, a history buff, you know what I'm saying? And looking at the stuff I didn't know, it offended me. And I said, man, I can't have my sons, you know what I'm saying? They can't, they got to do better than what I was able to do. So, generally I've been able to teach them in that same way that you see, you know, the book portray. You know, I tend to teach them. And then when I homeschool, you know, I don't, as you mentioned, updated, this is the first year my youngest son is going into a brick and mortar school. And, my oldest, he'll be going back. He hasn't been back since kindergarten. But, you know, found a good program for them. And, I found a good program. So I think that, you know, just being able to kind of undercut what the school would be able to put out there and allow them to be able to even challenge some of the stuff that they learn in school. I mean, that's just been the goal that I've had from the beginning, you know, to empower them, you know, instead of having them feel defeated.
Exactly. Because, you know, that's one of the things. I didn't know how to put any words to it. I just know that my spirit didn't like history. It was like it never resonated with me. You know, it was like, this is not true. But, you know, I couldn't say that, you know, back in the 60s, how you going to tell the system that what they teaching you was not true? But I felt that, you know, and so that was not my favorite subject, you know, where a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a history buff. Like, but what history are you, you know, so proud of knowing about? Like I said, that was just me.
Oh, no, and I agree. I do, because I grew up militant, right, to that extent. So I always grew up knowing about my American Indian lineage, but, you know, it was like, okay, I felt like, okay, well, I felt it was my duty, right, to know, right? I said, well, okay, if I have a lineage, I'm from here, you know, I need to know about where I'm from. And I took a certain amount of pride in that, but it's like that pride, it was kind of eliminated because there's so much I didn't know. And and for me to look at it, for it to be about the place where, you know, I'm born and raised, lives, I got, you know, ancestors in the soil. And for me to know more about probably like the European Reformation, or you get what I'm saying? Something like that.
Yeah.
For me to know more about that than I know about, you know, the Catawba Indians or the Pedi Indians, like things that, you know, are directly related to me. It bothered me. It really did bother me. So, you know, I'm that type where, as I learn more, I start to take more pride in the American history, because I realized that my ancestors played a huge part in it. You know, and that was the thing that, you know, I didn't learn coming up. You know, it's like you barely got, if anything, you know, we got to see Glory. That's what I got to watch as a kid. You know, I saw Glory, and I saw that, okay, well, we had some, you know, people that look like us fought in the Civil War. It didn't even dawn on me that we've been fighting in every war. You know what I'm saying? It didn't dawn on me. So, you know, it's like those are the things that I felt like I had to get more in touch with. And it actually just made me want to become more of a history buff. But I do understand that perspective that you have. I totally understand, you know?
Yeah. So now your family, your roots are in South Carolina, but that's not where you were raised, though, right?
No. I was born and raised in New York. And, yeah, my roots, they're coming out of pretty much Virginia to South Carolina. So that's basically
where
all my family is. Yeah, I got like one line that I'm tracing back to New York because, you know, I saw how my mother's mother, like that line. So my mother's mother and her my great grandmother, her grandmother, they all came from out of Aiken, South Carolina, and then went to Long Island. And I kind of didn't understand, like, okay, well, like, what was the connection? How did they get to Long Island, and what was the connection? And I found a connection with a Treadwell line that I had, and actually, small world, it was on a Clubhouse. Somebody helped me connect the dot and find out, like, okay, this Treadwell connection connects to, like, the Shinnecock Indians, the Pusatuck Indians, and it kind of made sense for the migration because those Indians are, you know, the Indians from Long Island area originally. So for my family to come from the South and then go to another Indian community, and that's what I would start to realize, like, our families would migrate to these communities not willy-nilly. Like, they knew that this was another community where they could find, they could find similar people of similar cultures and backgrounds. And, you know, contrary to what a lot of people knew, is that this was American Indian history, culture, and background. You know what I'm saying? Even those things that people that people put so much of an Afrocentric spin on, a lot of those things actually were, you know, American Indians. So, you know, I learned that along the way.
And that's just so amazing, you know, until, actually, to be honest with you, until I started having conversations with you and having you on the show, I didn't even understand, you know, that much about the American Indian, the indigenous background that we have as far as it relates to, you know, the Indian. And that it's not uncommon for us to have Indians, some type of blood within our family lines, correct?
Yes, indeed. You hear it all the time, right? Just like the book, you know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, in our family. And that's why I named it that, because how many times you always hear it? You know, we got Indian in our family, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. So, yeah, it's very common, very common. So what I like for us to do is to be able to connect the dots on who the Indian is. And, you know, as I talk to more people, especially people who don't run in the circles that I run in, right? Because those people, they're abreast of certain information, right? They use certain verbiage, right? So it's different. But when I speak to somebody else who doesn't, and they might use a term, like a simple thing where they say, oh, yeah, you know, I know my family, we're mixed with white, black, and Indian. And then I'm like, well, who's the white, who's the black, who's the Indian? You get what I'm saying? Because Indians, you know what I'm saying, in American society, were able to identify as black and white. You know what I'm saying? Either or. And generally identified as black or people of color in the society. So if that was the case, then who are the blacks? You get what I'm saying? How do you separate the blacks from the Indians if the Indians were the blacks? You know? And it's like we have to be able to decipher this information because it's a lot of information, but it's not even that it's so much information. It's just that it's like we're using the wrong rubric, you know what I'm saying, to be able to decipher it. So That's where I find is the biggest thing is like to get people to change their language. You know, my sons, you know, they don't even subscribe to the terms white, black. They'll, you know, they'll like say it. They understand people use the terms, but they feel like, you know, they understand that it's just a social term and that it doesn't describe a actual people. You know what I'm saying? So
awesome.
They're able
awesome.
To strip that away and then look towards, okay, well, this is the ethnicity of this person. This is the identity of this person as opposed to the caste system.
So, Damon, were you exposed as a small child, like your sons are now, with the knowledge around your Indian heritage, or did that come later? You know, like maybe junior high or high school or something like that, or
I always was aware that I had the lineage, but I definitely didn't take it in. I didn't take it further, right?
Okay.
I would say I took it for granted, you know what I'm saying? Especially knowing what I know now, right? I would say I took it for granted. So, I knew things, but I didn't know, you know, like, okay, for example, you know, I would hear things, my mom might tell me something like, oh, you know, my dad would tell her that he was Cherokee, right? Or, you know, she might mention... Or, you know, like growing up around my great-grandmother and stuff like that, I would see them have, like, these American Indian statuettes and all these different figurines all over the house, you know what I'm saying? And it was like,
okay.
You know, I would see them portray culture in that way. So it's like I didn't know the specifics that I know now and what I teach my kids. I didn't get that in-depth with it, but I always had that familiarity of it. You get what I'm saying? And what I love is that my sons have the same interest that I had. Because I had the interest. I wish I could have knew more. But, you know, like you mentioned, there's different eras, right? You know, we didn't ask as many questions. We didn't have as many sources available to be able to go deeper and get that deeper information. You know what I'm saying? You might have had a question.
Right.
It was just going to lay there. You know, it's just going to lay there in the ether. But, you know, being able to go further... That's been helpful. But I always had an idea about the lineage. I just, yeah, again, I was started to get indoctrinated into, well, there's black people, white people, and, you know, Indians and, you know, other races of people, and not understanding that, well, who are these white people? Who are these black people? And then how does that fit into my narrative and my history? You know what I'm saying? I had to figure that out.
Well, that's just really interesting because I'm sure a lot of people were not exposed to that and did not have that the same perhaps openness around, you know, their true history of their family. I know that my dad, he was born in 21, so that, you know, kind of gives you background of when he would have been actively involved. But in his growing up, that was one thing that was so prominent in his memory. He says, I remember we would go to the teepees and visit with the Indian people and get different things for our health. And we never had to take any shots or have any vaccines or anything like that, because they always would give us what we needed to be better, you know, and that was his memory, you know. And so that was really like my first recollection in any type of identification with American Indians being, you know, like a part of real life. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Most people, that's how they get it, is through their oral tradition. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm a staunch advocate of oral tradition. You know, I've heard a lot of people discredit their own oral traditions. I've seen other people discredit other people's oral traditions. You know, I've heard people say things like, oh, well, your grandmother, you know, didn't have a college education, you know, you know what I'm saying? Your ancestors,
right.
they probably lied about it, you know what I'm saying? They just wanted to, you know, hide their blackness, you know, all these type of things. And don't get me wrong, you know, there's probably these cases, you know, here and there, right? I'm sure there's people who have done these things, but by far and large, this isn't a thing that people are just going around making up their oral traditions. You know what I'm saying? There's breadcrumbs in there. There's nuggets. There's these little morsels of truth that come from even a muddled up story, you know, that you might get from your ass, from your, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm always an advocate. I hate when I hear those people discredit anybody's oral tradition. And what's interesting to me is that it happens more so with our ancestry here in America than it would for anything else, because I don't hear people discredit the oral tradition of people from Africa. I don't hear them discredit the oral tradition from people from Australia or Asia. You get what I'm saying?
It's the
American oral tradition that we have that has to go under so much scrutiny, and you have to do so much to prove who you are. You know what I'm saying? And I even appreciate that, because you have people that come here and try to, you know, defraud, you know, the legacy and the benefits that are available, you know, for the American Indians and those descendants. But it's like, it's a double edge, because it's like, man, you know, you want to prove who you are to, you know, so that nobody else can claim what's yours. But it's like, why do we have to go through so much, right? When we have the oral tradition, when we have the, you know what I'm saying, the background that we can kind of show and demonstrate that we are from here. It gets frustrating sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But it also, that's what fuels me. You know, that's what got me out here making books and doing things that I'm doing, you know. So I can't be too mad.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, just with the onset of this ancestry research that we're now able to do, you know, and you get your report back and it has all of this variation, you know, like in your background. And you'd be like, oh, my goodness, I didn't have any idea. You know, I thought I was 100% black or whatever, you know. And then when we see the mixture, it can be really daunting, I tell you.
Well, see, I'm glad you mentioned the DNA testing, because that's another aspect that it can be helpful, but sometimes those ethnicity estimates, they confuse the situation, right? Because those ethnicity estimates can point you towards maybe certain migration patterns, right? Maybe, you know, you might be able to link yourself up with, you know, a cousin or somebody else who, you know, who took a test as well. But in general, the test isn't able to tell you your origins, right? And I just want to make sure I say that for anybody else who's listening, who is going on their genealogy journey, just to understand that the way that you're able to get to your origins is by doing your family tree, what they call a pedigree, right? By doing a family tree and mapping out your ancestry. Without that, you really can't tell where your ancestors are from. And I'll be specific, you know, because Ancestry.com, they put out a white paper where they spoke specifically to the issue, which is that these companies don't have the DNA of your ancestors. You understand? They only have
that makes
the DNA
sense.
Of... Yeah, they only have the DNA of other living people. And these other living people who could be living in Africa, they could be there because of a recent migration, such as, you know, the American Colonization Society, where they took free people of color and sent them to colonize and make the colony of Liberia, Sierra Leone, in West Africa. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now,
mm-hmm.
okay, there will be a connection between you and these families that are in West Africa. You can find a connection, but does that connection mean that your ancestry comes from there, or is it vice versa? It's like a chicken or egg type of situation, and the only way you can find that out is by doing the genealogy work, getting the pedigree, building the family tree. You know what I'm saying? So, that's why I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people I know, they rely on the ancestry DNA, the ethnicity estimates, and they're like, okay, hey, I know. But it's just a tool, you know, to help you look for a broader ancestry. You know?
So would you... Because see, now my wheels are just spinning. So would the best use of the time for today be used in talking about how to do our genealogy reports, or, you know, creating that family tree, or?
I think so. Yeah,
okay.
I think so. I think because I think it's such an easy thing, but it's a thing that people don't do regularly, so it seems more difficult than what it is. It is time consuming, but I think it's rewarding as a time consuming thing. The first thing, I guess, what I'd give advice to people when you're doing your family tree, you know, you can basically the best, in my opinion, because other people would definitely disagree, but in my opinion, Ancestry.com is the best interface. They have the largest, well, they have one of the largest record databases, because the largest database is from FamilySearch.org, I believe. But their interface is a little bit kind of janky. It's kind of, you know what I'm saying, it's a little awkward. So for, like, ease of interface and, you know, a large amount of records, I would suggest people go to Ancestry.com. Right, and you know, you know, for the cost of it, some people get concerned about that, but you can go to the library. You know, they have a library edition, so you don't have to pay anything, and you can do your searches there. The only thing is that, again, you're not able to, like, save all of your information directly. You know, you can only, like, save it on those computers or send a link that'll have a save on the saved information. So I'm just, you know, that's just a start. So you go on Ancestry.com, and the first thing you would want to do is start your tree with yourself, right? So you put yourself, you know, your name, your date of birth, place of birth, and, you know, whatever information that's pertinent that you can fit in inside the interface. And then once you do that, it'll start to develop hints, right? Because, you know, you were born, you got a, you know, a birth certificate. That birth certificate has your mother and father's name on it. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, you'll get, you know, your tree developing with their names on it. And now more records will come up for them, right? So a lot of times, you know, that's a concern for some people. They say, oh, man, I didn't know, you know, I didn't really know my father. I didn't really know my mother. I wasn't close to them. And you don't have to be, you know, it helps. But you don't have to be, you know, you're still a descendant of these people. And, you know, in the United States of America, there's great record keeping, you know what I'm saying? So it's especially in recent times. So more than likely, you'll be able to get on a trail by just, again, starting with yourself, getting those records and hints that come up, and then going further to your parents, right? So, again, you know, every generation, it doubles, right, your ancestry. So get to that next generation after your parents. Now you're dealing with your grandparents, right? Both your parents, they both have two parents. Those are your grandparents. As you start going up these lines, what will start happening is that a lot of times you might hit what they call brick walls, right? And I think that's an important thing to mention, is the brick wall, because that leads to a lot of people's frustration, and then they'll wind up quitting. Right. I don't believe in brick walls. I think that it's just, you know, maybe it's more like a pit stop, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes what you think is a brick wall, and it's like, oh man, we're never gonna get over this or get past this. It's just a place where you need to step back and reassess maybe all the information. Maybe you need to, instead of thinking, okay, well, I hit a brick wall because the last record I could find for my ancestor was the 1870 census, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll say, oh, well, you know, some people, that leads people because they get frustrated. They say, okay, well, this ancestor must have been a slave, right, because I can't find any records before that. But what mm-hmm. you might wind up finding if you go do deeper research is that that town where your people are from didn't become an incorporated town, or it might not even be incorporated when you find a record for it. And these towns just haven't become part of the greater society yet, where your people live. So your people could have been living in these towns for hundreds of years prior to 1870. You understand? This could have been a whole community mm-hmm. of your people, but it wasn't on record because, you know, the United States government, the federal government, had not yet discovered that area. You know, for lack of a better word. I don't discover it in the word.
Had an honor.
For lack of a better word.
No.
Yeah, even better. This is the word. It didn't fall within their jurisdiction. That's the better word I want to use.
Okay.
That jurisdiction word is a very, very key word, because if you even get towards, you know, the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, you see this word jurisdiction come up. You see what I'm saying? Where they say that slavery is abolished within the United States jurisdiction. You see what I'm saying? People became citizens within the jurisdiction. So when you weren't in these jurisdictions, well, okay, where are these places that aren't in the jurisdiction? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So now you got to ask yourself these questions. So now you might find this brick wall, and it becomes a whole new a whole new road to go down, you know what I'm saying, when you thought you had a brick wall, because now you learn more about the actual area where, you know, this brick wall supposedly happened, you know what I'm saying? So, I hope I'm helping. Yeah, am I giving good advice? I want to give so much information. I know we got, we don't have too much time.
I know, because I've never really, no one, with the and I haven't done like extensive stuck with it kind of work, but I have kind of hit it and missed it, but I have not been actively involved for a good little while now. So to be able to sit and now pick it back up, this is great advice, because there were some instances where I was stopped because I didn't have like a continuation of the story right there. So this helps me out. Yeah. Because, you know, my people were from the backwoods, not the backwoods, but, you know, the little country places in Louisiana, you know, so.
Yes, indeed. And, yeah, there's definitely tons of Indians that were out in those areas, and they migrated, you know, from a lot of them from North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. And you know, that right there is a big hit, and the key for people doing genealogy is to really look at the migrations and timelines. You know, migration patterns and timelines are two of the most important things that you'll need going along the journey. You know, you can't just look at these things that happen in history in a vacuum. You know what I'm saying? It's like something happened prior, something happens afterwards. You know what I'm saying? And these instances, they all kind of like, it's like dominoes. You see what I'm saying? They all run into each other. So, you know, but you can't put them out of place. You get what I'm saying? So sometimes that's what somebody might do. They'll start talking about slavery, you know what I'm saying? And they'll talk about their ancestors being slaves, and, you know, they only trace their ancestry to 1880, right? And, like, nobody was enslaved during 1880. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like people come with narratives based on just, you know, emotions and things of this nature. You know, you got to have the timeline right? Okay, well, slavery was abolished in this year. And, okay, well, if this person was working in this location, then they probably were sharecropping and not, you know what I'm saying, enslaved. There's so many things that you have to do to make the narrative specific, instead it's so general and vague, and that's kind of what we tend to go off of, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, our people were done wrong, and they were slaves, and this, that, and the third, and people don't even know. It's like they haven't done the work they want to go and see, like, where their people are actually from. They might find out mm-hmm. not one of their people was enslaved. They might find out their people was enslaved as people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
how about
Because,
you know, and that's the part that a lot of people don't
want
to deal with.
Yeah, we haven't been encouraged to find out our true history, you know, where our roots mm-hmm. really go. Yeah, I was just having a conversation a few days ago because my grandmother, her mother died in childbirth with her. And so I'm, you know, I had never gone back to, you know, try and pick up that lineage from there, you know. So, like, what was my great-grandmother's name and where was she from? Because I had heard at some point in time that my grandmother was part Indian, but, you know, it wasn't something that was talked about and discussed or, you know, people wanted to go and do any kind of research. So listening to you now give these hints about how to begin and how to do this research is really encouraging.
I'm glad. You know, I think that's the key, is just taking that dive into it. And I do understand people's apprehensions, you know, because, again, some people have bad relationships with their family, right? They got skeletons in the closet, things they don't want to dig up. You know, you'll start going into this history and find some things where you might not be so proud about your ancestors, right?
Right,
But you still have to be proud about your ancestors, because this is what got you here, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's like that does become a thing where I've seen many people have that challenge where they don't want to start because of their family issues, or, again, they find something that they don't want to admit to. You know, again, you find that, you know, imagine a person runs around, they're like the most staunch Pan-Africanist, this, that, you know, fist in the air, and then they find out that their ancestor was like the largest, you know, slave owner in, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, something like that. You get what I'm saying? It might be hard for them to go out there and tell people this. You get what I'm saying? What they say, the truth will set you free. You know what I'm saying? It set a lot of us free. You get what I'm saying? If people would admit it. So it's unfortunate that that's the case, that it's not only just the, you know, the other folk keeping information away from us. Sometimes these skin folk doing it too, you know what I'm saying? To protect their own interests.
True.
So.
Right.
You know, gotta mention that.
And sometimes it can be
It's a new day.
Yeah, it could be playing right up in your face and you don't even see it, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so much truth in what you're saying. You know, we've accepted the okie doke, and a lot of times the okie doke come from us, you know, within our own family. And it's just easier to take it and accept it than to challenge it or question it, because then, you know, you become the troublemaker in the family. And why you want to ask that question? And why don't you just leave things like it is? I got that when I was doing some really deep research, you know, going to those cemeteries without names, and, you know, like you had to go to the big tree and turn left at the dirt road and then turn right, you know, at the second tree and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And it was amazing. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't continue the research long enough to really get to where I would like to have been, but I got a good start on it, you know, for somebody else to pick it up and to take it. Yeah, yeah.
And what you said right there, that's the key, is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's like it's a relay marathon. You know what I'm saying? It's a relay marathon. So you definitely going to have to pass that baton. You know what I'm saying? It's like the work that, like as I started doing my genealogy work, I was fortunate enough to have another elder who had already started some work, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to connect with their work. So that's another piece of advice to give people. Like, you know, don't be intimidated to start and feel like, hey, I don't know, I don't have this. Because somebody else out there in your family, another cousin that you may have never met or you have met, is out there doing the work. Because that's what happened with me. You know, I had a cousin of mine. I had never met him before. And he had one of the largest trees on Ancestry that had information about, you know, my ancestor. And, you know, I was under the impression, I was under the impression that this was a so-called white person, right? Because he had such a large tree. See, I had all these misconceptions in my head, right? Well, he had the large tree, so he must be, you know, the white side, and he must this, that, and third. Next thing you know, I go to my aunt's house, you know, and who do I see? I see the same cousin who had this tree on Ancestry, and I'm talking to him, and he said, I have a tree on Ancestry. I said, oh, that's you with the big tree? And, you know what I'm saying, small world, you know what I'm saying? But it's like somebody else is out there doing the work, you know what I'm saying? So feel free to join in and contribute with them, you know what I'm saying? Because then once we're done, we got our next generation that's going to come up and pick up that baton and keep running with it, you know what I'm saying?
And it'll probably be more information available, too, when they do. So that's a good thing to look forward to, right, right. Because I actually, I did my work or started my work on 23andMe. And I actually found some family members, and we have been in contact with each other, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It's been a long time. But it was always, you know, just a phone call or emailing or maybe touching bases on Facebook or something like that. But last year I was able to meet, and I don't even know what number this is, but he's a cousin. His great-grandfather was the brother of my grandmother. So how, you know, and when I tell you, Damon, we look like we're brother and sister, no joke. Man, this is like the strangest thing in the world, you know. I'm like, dang, all right.
That's some genes. Some genes be strong like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nah, this,
but
you know,
it is worth starting.
It is. Family, to me, it's like, you know, this is the type of work that is priceless, you know what I'm saying? Because the things that I've learned, there's no history book that would have been able to teach me this, you know? You know, there's pieces of it that I got from history books, but it was me being able to place myself into the story, right? You know what I'm saying? I got to give a shout-out to my sister, Phoenix. She always says that, place yourself in the narrative, you know? But it's like that. That's the difference where now it's like, you know, when 4th of July comes up and, you know, people just go around and shooting off fireworks and this, that, and third. And, you know, I can get with all that and, you know, fix me a plate and everything too. I'm with it. But what I'm interested in is tracing back to my ancestors that fought in the revolution, you know what I'm saying? And understanding why they did that. You get what I'm saying? Because it all makes sense when, you know, I see I had ancestors who they fought in the they fought alongside the British, right, at first, and then the British did them wrong, and then they said, well, let's ally with the rest of these colonists to go against the British. You get what I'm saying? And it made sense as I started to get more and more information about the story. So this is just, it's priceless. And, you know, I'm glad I could share, you know, some information with you and your audience. Hopefully, you know, it helps them on their journey. I hope it helps you along the way, because, you know what I'm saying, I know you're going to find out a lot of things, you know, just those, you know, just that surname alone, you know what I'm saying? That Rogers name already told me a lot from our first time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, actually, so my family name on my mother's side is Goff, G-O-F-F, which is very uncommon. And it's a German surname. And then on my dad's side is Armstead, A-R-M-S-T-E-A-D, which is another unusual name. So my little running joke is, if you're a Goff or if you're an Armstead, I know you're related to me, you know. And so I'll pick up people like that. But, no, it's been really interesting, you know, like the folks that do show up. Even on 23andMe, I know you're saying that Ancestry.com has a greater database, but I think if you start anywhere, it will give you incentive to keep going and to just, you know, keep looking and keep looking and touch bases with some of these people. So like the cousin I was telling you about, they've done the work. So, you know, they got the family tree out and out and out, you know, like three generations down. And so that's how we were able to, you know, to match all, you know, well, this is your great-granddad. Well, oh, okay, well, that was my grandmother's brother. And so, you know, we could do it like that. But if they hadn't done that much, I know that that's valuable, valuable to have that tree done.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Like you said, just get started, you know, because that would be the advice I give to anybody. Just get it started and, you know, take your time with it because, you know, again, on Ancestry.com in particular, you get the tree started, you step back from it, you come back, you know, maybe a month later, and all of a sudden you got more hints and more things going on because, like I mentioned earlier, other people are still doing work. Other people are still digging up records. So, you know, take your time with it, but, yeah, get started. You know what I'm saying? Definitely get started.
So let me ask you a question, Damon. You were saying about the hints that's, that pops up on your post, I guess. I'm not sure what the terminology is for that. So these hints that come up, so are they verified, like, individuals that's a part of your lineage, or is it folks that you need to do more checking on to verify that they are a part of your family?
Yeah, you definitely want to – you don't want to take them face value. Definitely want to go and do deeper research to make sure that that hit – is relevant to your ancestors because it could just be somebody with the same name, you know, in a different location. And, you know, you definitely want to do the due diligence. But those hints are extremely valuable because it'll save you a lot of time from you having to pare down and go through the searches and search through, like, thousands of records to, you know, figure out which one has the information that can link up to your ancestors. So, yeah, it's definitely not a given that hint is going to be. But I would say probably like 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 is probably going to be relevant. You know what I'm saying? But you definitely got to do
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Because I've heard people say, well, no, that name came up on mine and, you know, they're related to me like this and like that. And I'm like, but how much did you research it? Because I know what, you know, and mine was not a lot of work that we did. It was pretty extensive, but it wasn't like really, you know, getting all the way down into it and stuff. But I just was curious on the answer to that. So, you guys, we are down into this last 30, well, we're down to the last 20 minutes or so in the show. If you have questions about how do you do your family research or if there's anything that Damon has said that has sparked an interest in you that you need further clarification, now would be the time to ask your question. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And when you touch the one on your device, that will alert us that you want to speak live on air. Just by calling the number does not make you automatically talking live on air. I know a lot of people think that. So if you have something to say, you must hit the one on your dial or on your device. So, Damon, this has been such an interesting conversation with you. Because you're inviting or have your sons as a part of the work that you're doing. Would this be something that you would consider doing for other children, like as a school project or something like that?
Yeah, the impetus for me writing the book came from Regina Sunshine. You know, she is the publisher for the book. And
right.
she works with DDP, right? Destiny's Daughters of the Promise, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I did a presentation for them on pretty much the same topic, right? And I basically, when I did the presentation, Regina came one day and she said, you know what? You should take that presentation and make that into a children's book. And, you know, people have been telling me I should write a book for a long time because I had all this information, and I didn't know which way to go with it. You know, I was really stuck. Like how? Okay, I want to write this book, but how can I do it? Which way to go? And as soon as she said that, it's like a light went off in my head. So it's ironic that you said that because it kind of worked. It kind of worked the reverse way where, you know, I did a presentation and that's what inspired the book. But I would definitely, just to that point, I would love to do more presentations, you know, and use the book as a larger catalyst and, you know, the foundation, you know, of doing more presentations.
Okay. So tell the folks how to get in contact with you, where to order your books, and if they have groups that would like to hire you to come out and do a workshop. So give them all the 411 on how to contact you.
All right. Well, definitely you can reach me on Instagram. You can reach me on Clubhouse. On Instagram, it's author Damon Taylor. And on Clubhouse, it's Damon Taylor. On Facebook, you can reach me on Facebook. Unfortunately, my Facebook is hacked. Okay, so if you go look for Damon Taylor on Facebook, you can find my Facebook, and I have a lot of information on there. So some people might want to go there just so, you know, they can do some research with the information that I have available. And hopefully, I'll get my Facebook back, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe we can start a campaign to get Damon's Facebook back. But you can reach me there. The book In Our Family, Indigenous American Stories, is available on Amazon.com. So, you know, you can definitely order it, get it on Kindle as well. And, please pick that up. Get a copy for, you know, you, yourself, your grandkids, your niece, your nephew, you know what I'm saying, the kids in their school, you know what I'm saying? I'd appreciate it. And I was going to say also, I have a podcast, Hot Almighty, me and my co-host Aja Yasir. She's she's on the podcast with me, and it's called Hot Almighty. You can find that on all streaming platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, the whole nine. So I might have left something out. If I did, it's because I'm doing too much. but you can start right there, you know.
There you go. And so the workshops, I just want to make clear that they would be for adults and or children, right? So you're not restricting your work to any particular age group. Is that correct?
Yes, that's definitely correct.
Okay.
To that point, I would say if anybody is able to go on Clubhouse, if you follow me on there, I've done a number of presentations, definitely those are geared strictly towards adults. And, you know, I've had, people sit in and we've had some conversations. So, you know, those are on replay. So if anybody goes on Clubhouse, follow me on Clubhouse and go through those replays. You know, some of those replays are spicier than others, but, you know, instead of you taking time, especially if you go into the ones that we have in Mound Builders, book club we have, and in the Hot Almighty club. So if you house now, because there are houses now, no clubs, right? So if you go into the Mound Builders book house and the Hot Almighty house, then you know, you can find some of our old replays on some more serious topics. You know what I'm saying?
That's
but
really
as
cool.
You know, Sandy, you know how Clubhouse can get, so it can get spicy.
Oh, I know, right? They just make change there. You know, when they changed it from a room to a house, and you really didn't have any say-so about it. They just did it one day and told you, okay, now this your platform is now this, right? And I was like, oh, my God, you're about as bad as Facebook. So,
you know,
we just had to get
it.
Yeah, we got to get our own platform. So, I just want to make sure you guys understand the name of the book is in our family, in our family, Indigenous American Stories by Damon, D-A-M-O-N, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. When I tell you, it is a most incredible read. You will be proud to have discussions. And what I like about the book is that it causes the reader to make sure that they understand, you know, so you may have to do a little extra study in order to go through this children's book. I mean, it's awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it from one page to the next because it honored a child's imagination, but then it also stretched the knowledge base for us older folks. So just beautifully written and illustrated and gives you something to think about, you know, gives you something to consider. And the examples in the books of some of the artifacts from back in that day, in that period of time, were just really, it's just a good read, you guys. It's a quick read, but something that your family, maybe even at the church, wherever, you know, would really get a lot of benefit out of it. And that's what it's about, is sharing information, sharing knowledge with one with another until we're all well-versed on our true history. And so from that regard, man, Damon has done an exceptional job. And this is just the first book. He's doing a whole series, he told us earlier. So what can we expect in the future episodes or the future publications?
No, thank you. Thanks for asking that. Definitely, we're going to take the story. So if, you know, you see the initial story that took place in, you know, our home, right, with me talking to my boys, and mm-hmm. then we're going to take that story into the classroom. So it's interesting, like what you asked, the story itself is going to evolve into me taking that conversation into the classroom and doing presentation kind of in that regard. So then I'll have conversations with my son's classmates about their ancestry and going deeper into, you know, their family stories and their family history. So that's kind of pretty much the idea. Still got to flesh it all out, but, you know, that's pretty much where we're starting with it. So, you know.
Well, that's cool because it then gives more people an opportunity to grab a hold of it, you know, and to buy into what it is that you're doing. Hey, what you might have some groups that volunteer to be, you know, like your testing ground for you to come in and see if it'll work with that that population of people, you know, like a classroom. Maybe a school will invite you in. That'd be perfect, man.
Well, I'm definitely, you know, this coming up, you know, these next couple months, definitely looking to do more speaking engagements and presentations, especially with Indigenous Peoples Day coming up and Indigenous Peoples Month coming up. So, you know, in October, no more Christopher Columbus Day, right? So Indigenous Peoples Day, and we're definitely going to, you know, do it big. And November is Indigenous Peoples Month. So definitely looking to do a lot of presentations, and I'm hoping people pick up this book so, you know, you have something that you can, you know, share with your family and friends during both of those, you know, occasions. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, I feel like this is something necessary for our community, especially during that time. Like you said, you know, we have to tell our story. We have to give our own representation, and, you know, that's what I'm the most proud about. With what I was able to do is give something that when you open it up, it's like, okay, it's like you can see yourself in the story. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest, you know, my biggest goal.
And, you know, just to piggyback on that, and it seems like I've been having this conversation for a very, very long time, because when we don't tell our story, when it's not out of our voice, when it's not from out of our souls and our eyes, then we're allowing someone else to make up something about who we are, what we believe, what we think, what we do, which is not necessarily the truth, but is being marketed as it is the truth because maybe they go and get some celebrity or something to endorse it. But it's not our truth. And we must be about the business of reclaiming our souls, and the way we do that is we write books, you guys. It don't have to be fancy, but write it and get it published. Get it in the Library of Congress so that it's not one-sided, so that, you know, our great, great, great grandchildren will know that there were people that did some amazing things that were a part of their family line. And so I just encourage you to pick up a pen and paper and write your story and get it in so that it's a part of this literature that incorporates, quote unquote, the history of the United States. So please, you guys, do that. This is so important.
I totally agree. I have to say that, you know, for all that time that people were suggesting that I write a book and I didn't know how, and, you know, it was something that was calling me to do, but I felt so fulfilled doing it, you know? So mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. I would definitely suggest to anybody that if you have a chance to just put, you know, your thoughts on paper, you know, go and type it down, you know, say whatever you got to do, but get that information out there. You will feel fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? I totally was, you know.
And this is just so beautiful. I'm so honored with your book. It's just fabulous. And I know your sons are proud of it as well. You know, like, look what my daddy wrote.
Oh yeah, my oldest. Yeah. He's like, you know, he's so ecstatic, and you know what I'm saying. You can't. You know, he pretty much wants to tell everybody, give it to everybody, you know, oh, let me show it to my teachers so they can read it in school. you know, he's totally all about it. And like I said, the next one coming up, I think I'm definitely going to get more input from him as far as, like, the character dialogue and stuff like that, you know, because he was very critical about it, so I definitely don't want no problems with him coming up this time, you know, and I feel like it'll make it nice and authentic too as well. So yeah,
sure,
looking forward to that. But
sure.
Yeah, very, very excited.
And that's so cool to have the kids involved in the project. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, that has got to have your chest just pumped way on out there, huh?
It does. You know,
I'm just keeping it
like,
real.
oh no, definitely. You know, it's like, that's something that I could give to them that's, it's like, it'll last the test of time. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, long after I'm gone, they can always go and pick up this book and say, like, hey, look, you know, this is something that my dad did for us. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
It wasn't just
right.
for me. It wasn't just for them. This is for, you know, as we say, seven generations, right? We're going down the line. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely proud, and I'm proud of how proud they are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That makes me excited, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not something where they're like, oh, yeah, dad, hey, whatever, cool, you know. They really did get into it. So, yeah, you know, that means a lot.
That, yeah. So we've got just a few minutes left, but I would like for you to, if you would like to, I want to preface it with that, because you may have some other words, and that's why I kind of hesitated. I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's another thought that you wanted to end us with, but you, there's a couple organizations that I have note of, and the one you work with is the Colored Cemetery Association in Darlington, South Carolina.
Yes.
And then you work with the Urban Indian Heritage Society, right?
Yes.
And then, go ahead.
Well, definitely. I would love to speak about both of them. I appreciate you giving the time to do that. Definitely. I guess I'll start with the Colored Cemetery Association. That's an organization that pretty much we resurrected as a family. It came from out of our family cemetery. Someone claimed that our family cemetery was on their property, and because of that, they were claiming that they had to pay taxes on it, and I guess they were going to, you know, take the ownership and do whatever with it, right? Because our family intervened, we were able to get the court documents, able to get the sale records, right? And we found that the cemetery was purchased by our ancestors, and we were able to basically, you know, claim that, and then we reestablished the organization that our ancestors had, which was a Colored Cemetery Association, so that they could provide that cemetery. So that's what we've done. We've been able to do some cleanup and preservation of our family cemetery, because you know we were dealing with some vandalism and all different type of things that were going on. So you know, we cleared the area. We secured the area. We got a survey done. We're looking to get a historical marker up. So, you know, that's a nonprofit organization that we have, and definitely been very active, very productive as far as preserving our legacy. And the other organization, that's Urban Indian Heritage Society, is something that actually came out of just networking on Clubhouse. That's kind of where it developed, you know. And a partner of mine, Phoenix Moon, me and her worked on a lot of projects for a while. Me and her kind of, you know, just tapped some more other individuals who were very, you know, powerful and influential in their lanes. And, you know, we put out a petition to address the misclassification of American Indians. And it has nearly 9,000 signatures now. We got support from Kyrie Irving. Yeah, we got support from Kyrie Irving and former Senator Cynthia McKinney. So, yeah, you know, we've been doing some good things, some big things, and we're just going to keep the ball rolling, make a lot of noise, you know, because I think that's what's been the case. You know, we've been able to be ignored because I don't think we've been able to have our voice be loud enough. But it's a new day. It's a new day.
Yes, sir.
Clearly raised, you know?
Well, congratulations, and I'm so proud of the work that you're doing and for raising the volume up on our voices, because, you know, when we get to fully display that authentic self, the authentic voice that we have, that each one of us have, then everybody becomes stronger, you know, so I just thoroughly appreciate you and what you're doing and, you know, for being bold enough to step out and to write your book and to, you know, involve the children. Just the whole scheme of how you created that is just absolutely powerful. And I know it's empowering to your sons, you know, especially to say my dad wrote a book. You know, that's got to be the coolest thing in the world. I could just see their faces, man. That's cool. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I see the pride in them, and it does. It swells me up. It definitely does.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a good job with them, and we appreciate it. And knowing that, you know, that's two extra males that are being raised to be leaders in the community field with such authentic knowledge of their heritage, you know, who their people are and who they come from. And so they're already starting out life in a more equipped way with knowledge and wisdom about their ancestry. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, we just have a couple. Yes, sir. Yes. We just have a couple of minutes left. I would welcome to you to speak to us if you would like on anything, you know, another information more about your book, how to purchase it, your contact information. for anyone that may have joined the show late. And you got 3 minutes or two, whichever you choose to use.
No problem. Well, again, if you're just checking in now, you can purchase the book In Our Family, Indigenous American Stories. It's on Amazon.com, $14.99, okay? And we have $4.99 for the Kindle. So please, you know, again, like I mentioned, Indigenous Peoples Day, Indigenous Peoples Month is coming up. So I think those would be things for you to purchase for, you know, your young people, for their reading pleasure, something that they can read to their class in school during those times. And just, again, like Sam, like you said, you know, this is something that grown people, you know, can really learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why I made sure, you know, I added some suggested reading inside there so that people can go and look for some deep, you know, look for some deeper information. And, yeah, you know, again, look for the podcast that I have, Hot Almighty. We got some pretty big guests planned. It's in the pipeline. I don't want to speak it until it happens, but, yeah, we got some big guests coming up. And definitely look for us on all streaming platforms. You can also, again, find me on Instagram, author Damon Taylor, on Clubhouse, Damon Taylor, and on Facebook, Damon Taylor. So, yeah, I think that's that. I don't think I got anything else that I can remember.
Okay. I know, because it'd be a lot, don't it? You'd be like, okay, I need to touch all these bases. And Damon did tell us that he has been hacked on Facebook, but there's still a lot of the posts and information that he shares is still posted there. So just be aware of that. I wouldn't share too much of my information. On a hacked account. And those people, those whatever that are hacking the accounts is just crazy, because, you know, we've become accustomed to communicating and advertising and promoting the work that we do. And, you know, when you don't have a large budget to do the marketing and promoting, you know, all those little setbacks can really kind of hurt. So get the knowledge, check him out on Instagram and Clubhouse, join his house. He's got tutorials and workshops and presentations, and you can go on there and learn a lot. I know I learned a lot tonight, and so I'm anxious to call up another couple of family members and be like, all right, let's stir this thing back up. You know, let's get it done.
Beautiful.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you tremendously. So without further ado, then, we're going to go ahead and close it down for tonight, giving thanks again to Damon Taylor for demonstrating how your passion can turn into a work of knowledge, a work of wisdom for everyone to be able to partake of it, young and old. So we just salute you, Damon, and we pray the very best for you and the teaching of our stories to the people, to the masses. So thanks once again. And we know we're going to see you up on the main stage doing your series with your sons right there, having authored 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 books themselves. So we bid you farewell. That's right. That's right. Let's do that thing. All right, you guys. Thanks for being with us. And next week is the first Tuesday of August. Make sure you turn in for our numerologist, Lavelle Rouser. And we'll see you then. Have a perfect, perfect evening. Stay well, and we love you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Damon. Yes, sir. You too.
You too. Bye. Bye.